What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the PlayStation Drive episode 133. My name is Matt, and I'll be your host for this adventure's events. Wow, but just word salad right out of the way. I'm joined.
Does it even matter at this
for
point?
The final time, Mort, aka the child of Court and I, aka the Supreme Court of Canada. What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy. How you doing? My mic is like, right, I forgot to fix my mic from the last time we talked, and then it's driving me insane. It's just going to go bang, 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 bang.
Ooh, yeah. Look
it has up. A bit, mechanically, things have been going wrong around me lately. So it's just a normal thing now, I guess.
Yeah, just mechanics failing.
Well, yeah, right, toilets on planes. And
yeah. So, I mean, you were supposed to go to Vegas. That obviously didn't happen. That sucks. I'm sorry to hear it.
But
was it a poo-poo problem?
So they were boarding first class. And so all those people got to go sit on the plane. And then all of a sudden we see them walk off the plane. And the stewardess is like, hey, we're having some mechanical issues. We'll get back to you in a half an hour. And so we're all sitting there. And like right away, my instinct was like, I've got to put it on a different plane. I want to go watch this hockey game. I'm like, I fly too much for work. And I'm just like, there's an issue. Like, this is going to screw up. So I look and there's a WestJet flight at 11:30. And I'm like, okay, that's an hour and a half to go leave Terminal 1 because you have to leave the airport. Go all the way over, and then the stewardess is like, you won't make it in time and don't worry. I'm like, okay, because there's only two flights to Vegas per day. So there's one in the morning and one at the end of the day. That's all the airlines do it. No one has any other flights. Ever since the pandemic, they only have two flights per day. So they tell us, if we can't fix it within the next half hour, we're going to cancel the flight. But if we can fix it, we'll let everybody know. So half an hour later, like, we're going to go ahead and try and fix this. So I go up to the Sky Lounge or whatever it is, the Air Canada Club, and I start drinking. And I'm like, all I was thinking, hey, you know, I'm getting on this flight. 3 hours later, we find out, we get a text message saying the flight's been canceled.
Oh, good.
So then we ask why, and they say, well, the toilets weren't working, so we can't let it go up. So they weren't flushing. So technically, as long as no one had to do number two, technically it would work, but FAA, they're not allowed. So then we have to get in this giant line to find out when our next flight is. So we all get in line. Everybody's scrambling. People are like flying to Vancouver, everything. They crisscross to get there.
Yeah, yeah.
The earliest I could get to Vegas was 10 p.m. at night, which means I would have missed the whole hockey game. Right. And that's me looking it up and going, I'll hop on this flight and do all these kind of things.
Yeah, yeah.
All these connection stuff.
Yeah.
And Air Canada was only willing to give me a flight the following day, which turned out to be delayed because of the weather. So they had the flight was supposed to be at 10. Those people didn't take off till like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So my wife and I decided that just wasn't worth it. So we were going to be missing the hockey game. Then we wouldn't be getting to Vegas into the afternoon. So our 72 hours were turned into 48 hours, which just wasn't going to be worth it. So we decided not to. My daughter was going to a hockey tournament, but we weren't going to be there. We ended up getting to go to said hockey tournament, spend a weekend with my daughter. She got a hat trick in one game. She had a ton of fun. It's a memory that I grew up playing hockey. When you go to tournaments, it's like the greatest thing ever. And this was her first. And like she learned how to play mini stick with all her friends. We've been doing that for a couple of days. I honestly think it was meant to be that I don't go because I got to do and share this experience. So it's amazing. I've rebooked my trip. I'm going to go in February.
Good.
So I am going to go. It's just didn't get to go this weekend. Instead, I got to go see Connor McDavid and the Edmonton Oilers.
There you go, dude. Well, I'm glad it still worked out for the better. Like, I'm glad that, you know, you're still going to go for the trip. I'm sure those memories with Emma are going to be super special and super amazing. So I'm glad that worked out. But I'm glad that, you know, there was at least something good that came out of it. You weren't just sitting around,
dude.
Pussyfooting around.
I got to be an old man drinking in the hallway. Like I grew up going to hockey tournaments, and kids would always be in the rooms having fun, and the parents would always be in the hallways. So I got to finally be the person in the hallway. So, you know, it's fun.
There you go. There you go. You got to be a hallway dad.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, before we get into anything else, of course, it is our last show together.
I
am genuinely.
I didn't even know. I had no clue.
I know. Who would have thunk it? Who would have thought? Last show together. I'll still be around for the next couple of weeks.
Matt, I'm going to be honest. It's not our last show together. Let's be honest here.
It's
the last show in carpool. Sure.
It's a thing. It's a thing. But, you know, the last year and a half doing the show with you has been super special. I'm very proud of what we accomplished. I'm very proud of you and getting to know you and everything else that we got to do together. I'm super, super honored and super proud to be your podcast partner in crime. So thank you, Court. This show would not have been the same without you. We wouldn't have gotten as far as we did without you. So thank you for being awesome from both as a friend and as your podcast partner. I truly do appreciate you. So thank you for being awesome. And again, we'll talk more in the future, but I'm really proud of what we did here.
I am as well. I look at my time here at Carpool got me to learn who my perfect podcast partner is. I haven't had, and it still boggles my mind, because for everybody who listens, who knows your audio listeners, Matt and I are like complete opposite scales of how we play video games and what games we like. So it's almost what makes it better. We do have the same sort of humor, but at the same time, I have older humor that Matt likes to poke fun at, because I make jokes that he just doesn't get most of the time, which just actually makes it more entertaining as well. So I appreciate how an amazing of a host you've become, because technically when you were on here, Ryan used to host it, and then you became the host because, you know, de facto, and as the producer, people don't realize all the things that Matt does behind the scenes. Court might write a couple agendas here and there, but Matt literally is the one who has to edit and post the show on a regular basis. We do work on everything together. So I do appreciate your patience with me over this last year and a half, almost 2 years. I appreciate your humor. I appreciate your laugh. I appreciate you. And I'm glad that, you know, whatever journey happens after this, we'll probably be doing it together anyway. So I just appreciate you extremely much. That's the best. I'm not very good at all this stuff, so it's just like, eh.
I appreciate your words, my dude. And again, the PlayStation Drive was, you know, for the last almost 2 years now. That's a good point. Well, it was us, and I'm super proud of that. It's not going to be the same without you. Again, I know the road ahead will be a bright one, no matter what, for both the show and for us. But
it just won't be in a car.
It just won't be in a car. But yes, without further ado, let's clean this old garage of ours. If you're watching us live right now on youtube.com/carpoolgaming, like the stream, subscribe, share, tell your friends, put the comments, do all of the things. If you have extra bucks to toss our way, head to patreon.com/carpoolgaming, toss in tips into the old tip jar, and out will come a cornucopia of content for you to consume. And of course, if you're listening to us on your podcast service of choice, hit us with those 5 stars, hit us with those reviews. We always appreciate them all very, very much. Now, Court, we're gonna talk Suicide Squad. We're gonna talk PlayStation Plus. We're gonna talk about a few other things. That, of course, we have a bunch of wonderful questions from our wonderful community to round out our last show together. But without further ado, before we get into Suicide Squad, because that's gonna be kind of our main topic, is there anything else that you played that you want to talk about here? Because I feel like there's a game that just came out that ended up reviewing incredibly well. There's a great review here on the channel. And I think you played it too, maybe?
I did. Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown. I know it's early. Right now, it's definitely my game of the year. But I was very... Yeah, I know. We might as well go there all the way. We've been doing it all the time. So right now, it's game of the year. It is the best game I played out of Ubisoft since Valhalla. This game
really?
Its game is so well done. And it's interesting because a lot of the things I'm hearing on the internet, seeing on the internet, is people talking even about the graphics. Like, people have done full-blown YouTube videos on why this game shouldn't be that good because the graphics are like PS4 graphics. I did see somebody, and I don't know who it was, and I thought it was someone in the community. They were like, they showed The Last of Us Part 2, and they were like, I guess PS4 graphics are pretty good because that game looks amazing.
It was Aaron Cini. Yeah,
yes,
I saw that.
That was a great, that was like a perfect tweet. Because I was just like, yeah, like this game looks gorgeous. And the art style that they used to make it, I thought was perfect. They didn't need to make it this, you know, third person view, because it's a side scrolling game. The colors they use, the shaders they use, it's perfect for this game because it's a Twitch based jumper. Like, you're jumping around this Metroidvania. Like, it's so good. And I thought they did a great job of even telling the story. They have just bubbles popping up with the heads of the characters, and they just have the words going up. They narrate it, but you can read them at the same time, which for accessibility purposes, I've heard in the accessibility community, they love that fact that it's just the words going up on the screen. And there's also the audio version, so it's easier to follow along. But I like the way they tell the story. I think it's very almost, I'd almost say like cartoonish, but it reminds me so much of games from back in the day. And as I was saying to you before, a lot of my holidays this year was like playing a lot of retro games. And then all of a sudden the game I'm reviewing is Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown. And I was just like, oh my God, I can't stop loving this game. Like, it's so good.
you're not usually, I know you like a platformer, and I know that you usually do play the platformers with your daughter, but I know you're not usually huge on Metroidvanias, and especially not huge on games that, because from what I'm hearing, Prince of Persia can be difficult. Like, not in a way that is overbearing, but like, both of those things aren't usually in your wheelhouse. So what is it about Prince of Persia that made you connect even with those elements?
So the combat isn't the biggest difficulty. I said in my review on Three Dads and a Console, the difficulty spikes are actually in the puzzles and how to platform, the platforming puzzles. The combat itself, it wasn't like these bosses. It was it's a lot like the games that I grew up playing where you just got to learn the pattern, right? Like in a Mega Man game, when you're fighting Woodman or Widman, once you figure out their pattern, no matter how many times you die, you're almost going to do it perfectly. So you're able to do that in all the mini boss battles and the boss battles in this game. And even the enemies. The enemies only have a certain amount of attacks. So once you've learned their pattern, that's it. Like
responding to it.
Yeah. Regardless of the difficulty level, it's not that hard once the patterns have been learned. Plus, as you progress in the game, you're going to get new powers, new skills. Your character becomes extremely, extremely strong.
Nice.
But they don't let you upgrade. The upgrades on your weapons are so, they're like incremental. So they're not large upgrades. So it's just, you know, a marginal, they even use the word, like here's a marginal increase in your power on your blades. It's the puzzles that are so amazing. These platforming puzzles, like this one where you have to like press a button to make this platform appear and disappear. And then you've got to run across, jump, and like make your, leave your character. Your character can actually almost portal itself. And so you have to like leave there where you're going to go. And so you go over, like, it's crazy how you have to figure out how to get to places. That is the difficulty. Cool. And when you're reviewing a game and can't look it up on YouTube because somebody else smarter than you has already figured it out, it is very frustrating. But that was the thing. I wasn't frustrated at all. And maybe also because I fell in love with God of War Valhalla, which is also one of those games. And I'm literally reviewing a game right now that's doing this to me all over again. And like, it's very interesting that the last three games that I have played are games that are usually not in my wheelhouse, and I'm enjoying them.
It's interesting because I feel like a year ago, you kind of had the mantra of, I'm going to try a bunch of whole new stuff, and none of it stuck. Coming into this year, you're like, I'm not going to play any new stuff. And then the new stuff that you are playing is actually kind of vibing with you.
Stop
so
it, Matt.
Cool to see. It's cool to see.
They're good. It's what good. Else Persia, might... I would say, has a demo right now. Don't sleep on it. Get the demo, play it, and then go buy it, because I can't see anybody after they play this demo not want to buy this game.
Yeah, I can't wait to play it. It is very, very high up my list. It looks incredible. Even from like the first time we saw it, the graphic style for me looks fantastic. It almost looks like a hyper stylized like Saturday morning cartoon in the best way. The combat just looks so slick. So I'm really, really excited to hop in and check it out. It's definitely like near the top of my list. It's just other stuff is keeping me busy, but I can't talk about too much more from what I'm playing, but same. I'll talk about that in the future. What we are going to talk about, and I'm going to pull in the initial article that we're going to kind of use to jump off this conversation, is coming from VGC. Rocksteady says that Suicide Squad alpha testers can now share their impressions. NDA signed by testers partially lifted following a recent round of previews. An alpha held late last year enabled players to sample an early section of the game, but players were required to sign an NDA restricting them from discussing what they had played publicly. While participants still can't share imagery or videos from the test, they're now being encouraged to discuss their experiences with the game ahead of its release month. So, Court, you and I both played the alpha. You got in, and you were kind enough to hook me up with the code as well, and we both hopped in. And coming into the alpha, I was already kind of down on the game. I wasn't really super high on what we had seen, but I was like, I'll give it a chance. Let's see what happens. You, on the other hand, was like, I hope I get a good story out of this. You were looking forward to it.
Correct.
Coming out of the alpha, I feel like you and I need to talk, because we weren't allowed to talk about this publicly. Now that we are, I'm going to let you go first, because the DC is much your wheelhouse than it is mine. This kind of franchise, this kind of property is very much your thing. Are you still excited for Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League?
No.
Why?
So the story is great. There is the amount of detail that Rocksteady does while you play the little chunk of story you have. There's the Batman Museum. There's little places that you go in and you're like, oh my goodness. Like it looks unbelievable. When you first see characters like the Flash and stuff, I thought they did a great job. For me, the traversal felt clunky and annoying. Like every character had its own little thing, but at the same time, I used all of them and I really didn't like the traversal. I've seen people, if people like it, that's fine. Maybe I had to get used to it, but even in the tutorial, every time they had with the characters, which was also interesting, as they walk you through in this alpha, you do a tutorial, you get to do so much with Boomerang, and then they make you play all the different characters and Deadshot, and then pretty much the other tutorials for the other characters are like 2 seconds long. I will say that the gunfights felt great. I thought that the aiming system and everything, it was very responsive. But it was just purple stuff flying all over the screen all the time, which is still there. We saw it in the trailer we first saw. When you're shooting your guns and stuff, it's just that. I've even seen later videos now of people playing and there's like all this stuff going on the screen and it just looks like sensory overload. So maybe taking the HUD down, but I also felt that the world we were running around in was empty. Like there was nothing there. It was just like buildings that, you know, were half broken and I'm jumping on top of them and going from one area to the other. And I didn't understand why he was doing a lot of these things. And maybe also it's a huge disappointment. I'm playing it. And I'm just like, why am I the Suicide Squad? Like as a DC fan, they're not the most interesting of all. Yes, they are funny on TV, but this is a video game. Like, I don't know. It feels disjointed. Am I going to buy this game? Yes. Am I going to get it at launch? No. But I want to play the story. So as a DC fan, I'm 100% going to buy it. It's going to be...
And as a Rocksteady fan, like I know, and I know you're a big fan of the Arkham series. So it's like, again, like there's something here that I can understand you resonating with, but at $100 Canadian?
Not a chance. It's going to be when it goes on sale I'll put money on this right now. This game isn't going to do well. This game isn't going to review well, but there's going to be a lot of people out there that are going to, you know, get up on their podium and say, this is why they love this game. And if you don't like it, then you're the issue. It just doesn't speak to me. There's parts of that I like, but this is not, I'm not going to be spending $100 to buy this game right now. And I couldn't recommend someone to do that either, because I don't think that this is worth the money. But when it's like $40 on sale in like 2 months after release, I'm in.
Yeah, I'm going to pull John 32 and I counterpick Suicide Squad in a Fantasy Critic League. I hope you hated it. I came out of this feeling worse than I did coming into it.
Yeah.
I tried to go in with an open mind. I had a litany of technical issues that I'm not going to levy against the game because it was an alpha. It's early. I completely understand that when you're buying into an alpha or a beta, the hope is that the technical issues you encounter will be ironed out by the time that it releases. I had the beta crash on me, the alpha crash on me quite literally 4 times. But that wasn't why I didn't like it. I found the gunplay to be perfectly mediocre. It existed to serve a purpose. I didn't find it particularly challenging. The enemies literally would just stand around and you would shoot at them and they would just stand there and get shot at. They'd toss up shields constantly as there was like the only thing that you could do. As the only thing that they could do against you was to just toss up a shield and you'd have to get around them. I found the traversal to be not great. Like Harley feels like Spider-Man does in Avengers, and Spider-Man in Avengers does not feel good. Boomerang, I feel like maybe with time, maybe with like if there's traversal upgrades, maybe Boomerang could be more fun to use. Shark was just jumping around, and then Deadshot. The
Deadshot's the best because he at least had the backpack. Yeah.
Yeah. The jetpack was okay. But I found it to be like, I found all of them to kind of be lacking a sense of momentum and lacking a sense of, you know, of like I just didn't have fun moving around as any one of the four. I found the presentation to be kind of lacking. Like it felt like I was watching MMO cutscenes in not a good way. Like the animations and stuff kind of felt stilted and like they weren't really animating much. Like I felt like I was just watching over the character's shoulder a lot of the time without a lot going on. I did not come out of this experience being like, okay, maybe I am sold. If it comes to Game Pass or it comes to PlayStation Plus, I'll play it. I'll check it out just to see, because I do respect Rocksteady as a developer. I liked the Arkham games. I thought that, you know, they without the Arkham games, we wouldn't have gotten the Spider-Man games that we had today. Just straight up, like the combat would not have been anywhere near as good. So there's obviously like a good history to the studio, but playing the Suicide Squad, I was like, no, this like I feel even worse. This went from like a maybe I'll see what reviews say to I'm not even considering this given what else is coming around it as well. I just really didn't enjoy it. And like similarly, Say what you will about Marvel's Avengers, the campaign was fun, and each of those characters felt like the character that you were playing as. Cap felt like Cap. Iron Man felt like Iron Man. All of those characters, in terms of at least the combat abilities and the way that you played them, is just, they felt like intentional. Regardless of the game around it, the live service crap that was obviously shoved into that game, the characters themselves felt good to play, or they were fun to use, or they felt different from one another. The characters in Suicide Squad, you can literally put anyone, any character into any one of those things, just have them into one of those bodies, just have them constantly chattering, and then that's what you have. Like, there's nothing about those four characters that feels like the characters they were coming from. And especially after, you know, so much great DC stuff, so many, even like Harley Quinn, the animated series, being fantastic and having so much life to each one of those characters, Shark just feels like Drax. Like, that's, I could not see anything else.
Well, didn't it make sense? Shark shouldn't have had a gun. Like, he should have been like,
why does he have a minigun?
My biggest issue was the characters didn't have any big differentiators from them except their traversal. Everything else was the same, except boomerang through a boomerang, but you could use that as a traversal as well. Like, it's just, it was like all about the traversal, which wasn't good. Like, how about don't make the world look weird to have this weird traversal in it?
Yeah. It was, everything was very vertical, which I appreciate to an extent, but when you realize that's all it is, it's kind of like, okay, well, it is what it is. So for me, Ash underscore Trobot in the chat, is it one of those games that's not fun without friends? People hated Fallout 76, but that game is great with friends. Maybe it is a better situation in co-op. Maybe it is more enjoyable to not take it seriously and to just kind of kick back and relax with a couple of friends and shoot a bunch of stuff. Maybe that is the case. But I don't know if that will be enough for people to buy in at full price at launch. So
yeah, it's a tough, and I feel bad for Rocksteady because I feel like it's a game they didn't want to make, but we're told to.
It feels like they are making the best of what they have.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see when reviews hit, and we'll see what the public feels about it once it kind of lands. But
73 right now, is my guess.
I think that's generous.
73. Because you're going to get a lot, already we're getting so many people defending it without even playing it or even only playing this. Like, it's just, this is going to be one of those weird games that people are going to be like, is it cooler to defend it than say that you don't like it? Because it's okay to say you don't like games, people. I really, we've got to get out of this stigmatism that you can't be like, I don't like that game. It's okay. If you don't like it, you don't like it. Like, whoopee-woop.
I don't know. I'm kind of predicting high fives. When it comes to the Metacritic score, I think high fives, maybe low sixes. I think if anything, I hope the story is better than at least my first impressions of it.
That's what I think. I think the story,
and I hope that's what's going to be. And I hope there's some cool set pieces and stuff. I hope that is kind of going to be the thing that saves this game, because I don't think the gameplay and the traversal is going to be it. But we shall see, my dude. Let's get into some other news, because then we have a bunch of questions for our wonderful community that I definitely did not forget any this week. We're going to start off by heading to the PlayStation blog to take a look at the games coming to Premium and Extra this month. We're getting stuff like Tiny Tina's Wonderlands and more. Tiny Tina's is coming, Resident Evil 2,
Hard Space,
Shipbreaker, Lego City Undercover, Just Cause 3, Session Skate Sim, Shadow Tactics, Blade of the Shogun, Vampire the Masquerade Swan Song, Surviving the Aftermath, and for our classics, we get Rallycross, Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace, hell yeah, Street Fighter 30th Anniversary Collection, Legend of Mana, and Secret of Mana. Court, how are we feeling about this month's extra and premium offerings?
Well, it's got a game, this is the second time in a row, I got a game that I haven't played. So I really wanted to try Tiny Tina's Wonderland. I just didn't want to pay for it. And even when it was like $40, I'm like, it's still not in. And now I get to try it. Like, for me, I'll try it. I like Borderlands games. I know that I don't ever really finish them. I'll play them for a little bit. They're so long that I just had a while. I just don't care anymore. And this will probably let me see if I like turn-based. Yeah, because it's not turn-based.
It's still a shooter.
Yes, but it's also got the dice. So there's the dice involved. So it's a lot like Dungeons and Dragons. So that's the whole thing about it. It's like Borderlands with Dungeons and Dragons. So if I like this game, it might get me to play Baldur's Gate.
Play the game, Court. Play it right now. Go, just walk away from the show. Our last show should not be long. Just leave now. Go play this so you can play the better game.
Well, no. I gotta put the hockey game on, because if Kyle reminded me that the Bruins are playing right now.
There you go. For me, I think it's an okay month. I think there's something here for some people. Resident Evil 2, after enjoying, 4 so much, maybe I'll go back to 2 to give it another whirl. I tried to get into it, and it didn't really hit. The puzzles were a bit too puzzly for me. And Session Skate Sim is one that I was kind of curious about. But otherwise, I think it's an all right month. I don't think there's anything here that's particularly a massive highlight. I'm stoked about Star Wars Episode One. I played the ever living crap out of this game growing up. So I'm genuinely excited to kind of give it another go and see if it clicks. And the Mana series is one that I've been curious about. And we'll see if I
remember Secrets of Mana. That's the one that used to be way back in the day. It was Nintendo, right?
I'm not sure. Maybe. Yeah. I know it's a remaster of like a super old one.
Yeah.
I don't know where that one was.
I'm old, right? I'm pretty sure it was NES. I think I played it. Yep. Believe it or not. I'll Google.
There you go.
I think I played it.
Let's hop into our next story coming from Andy Robinson over on VGC, because retailer lists V2 PS5 DualSense with improved battery life. The new controller will reportedly last up to 12 hours, according to the Walmart Canada listing. Riley. The new first-party controller will come bundled with a DualSense charging station and sport exceptional 12-hour battery life, allowing long gaming sessions. According to it, it will be listed at the same price as the original at $89.99 and the same dimensions. If authentic, this new controller will be a significant improvement over the original, which includes a 1560 milliamp-hour battery and lasts around 6 hours in more demanding times with using all of its features. So we don't have an outright confirmation yet, but if Walmart Canada is to be believed, a V2 of the DualSense is coming with more batteries and a DualSense charging station cord. Coming at the same price, evidently, too. I know the DualSense battery life is, for a lot of people...
I have a DualSense charging station.
I know, I do too. But we'll...
A new one? They're bringing out a new one?
Possibly.
What, so like...
Apparently the controller comes bundled with it.
Oh, interesting. Is that the...
At $89.99, it's the same price as they are existing.
Well, that's not bad. I'm Secrets of Mana, 1993, Super Nintendo. Nice. I'm all for the longer battery life, but that is never an issue to me. I'm never like, oh my God, my battery's died while I'm playing the game. I just don't have enough time. So for me, that's not an issue. And I also have it always on a charger. I do find it an issue with my DualSense Edge. DualSense Edge does not. I would say 2 hours, maybe you get out of it, 2.5, maybe. It dies.
2 to 3, yeah.
It dies pretty quick. Yeah. I think this is great for people for long play times. It's a whatever for me. It's not that big of a deal.
I think it's cool that if real, it's coming at the same price
as real. It
currently listed. And I know, but I'm saying if everything is accurate, if the price and it comes with a charging station, I think that's great. I think that's, you know, anything that they're coming out with at the same price and not charging you more for, I'm all for. And yeah, I've had I have had issues with my battery life on my DualSenses where I'm switching out between multiple controllers through a play session. So I look forward to this.
With the DualSense? Like if you were to break down the biggest issue people are having with a DualSense controller, is it battery?
Yeah.
Or is it joystick drift?
I don't think a stick drift is unique to the DualSense though. I'm not saying that's not a problem.
It isn't, but it's a big problem. Yeah. I just had it on my blue controller. I just lost for the very first time. I've lost one.
I've never experienced it, knock on wood. I don't, through any of my controllers, I've never had the issue. So for me, the more prevalent one is the battery. I feel like that has been a bigger problem for me personally, but maybe others feel differently. But I feel like this is, whenever anybody says anything about the DualSense, the thing that is always brought up is the battery life. So hopefully, even at 12 hours, I think that's decent enough. I don't think many folks will be going longer than a 12-hour play session. So as long as you're charging in between, should be good to go. Court, we got some Last of Us news this week, too. I wonder why, in terms of timing, all of these casting things are coming out right before another game is. But coming from VGC by Tom Iben.
The embargo is tomorrow. Like we can say that we're playing the game and that the embargo is dropped tomorrow. Yeah.
And the game is coming out.
Secretive.
I know. We got our Abby in the form of Caitlin Dever. Apologies if I'm mispronouncing that name, but she is going to be cast as Abby. And then we also got young Mazzino coming in for Jesse. So we got a couple casting announcements there. Cool to see. I think for me, I Caitlin looks familiar, but I don't know what I've seen her in, and I haven't bothered looking it up.
It's a TV show I used to watch. It was on HBO.
She looks super familiar.
Well, it's okay.
Last Man Standing, Justified, Unbelievable, and
Dope Sick. Yes, Justified. Justified and Dope Sick. She was amazing in, like, amazing.
Never saw any of that.
Yeah.
I watched Booksmart. Great, great movie. Fantastic coming.
Dope Sick. Very good. It's got Michael Keaton in it. It's Showtime, I think.
Oh,
and Justified, I was a big fan of. But for me, the way I look at
the Vulture, right?
Yeah, and Batman. Okay. I know what you were going. I know what you were trying to do there. I don't care. What? This is the last episode. I'm not going to let it bother me. I look at it this way. They did so many great choices for part one, and a lot of people questioned it. I'm not questioning them this time. I think she is a phenomenal actress. She has done, like I said, in Dope Sick, it was unbelievable role what she did there, how she took her character and the way she changed it. I'm really excited to see what they do. And guess what? If Abby isn't a brick, you know, built like she is in the video game, I don't care. As long as the actress can portray her and pull that all off, I'm all good with it. It's all about her emotions and all that. I don't care.
See, for me, her physicality was a huge part of her character. I do hope she bulks up, and I have nothing against this actress. Like, again, from what I know her, I'm sure she's going to do a fantastic job in terms of her ability to portray the character. I have no doubt in my mind when it comes to that. But when I do think of Abby, I do think of her physicality, of how huge she is, of being able to kind of throw down in the way, and especially like the way that those two characters play differently. Abby is a much more physical character when even just playing the game. So I do wish that they had picked someone that was bigger, that was more muscular, that had more to her in terms of her physicality. Again, nothing against Caitlin. I'm sure she's going to do a wonderful job, and I hope she kind of, you know, buffs up. But I do wish that we had somebody who was bigger and who was bulkier, because we saw it with She-Hulk too. Again, Tatiana Maslany was wonderful as a character, but that she should have been bigger, bulkier, muscular, like, you know, much more muscly. Some of these characters, yes, you don't need them to be one-to-one to who they were before, but I feel like if it's an integral part of her character, I do miss the physicality. Like, I don't think I will.
I think I won't, if she's not, I won't miss the absolute terrible takes on the internet of people going after Abby, a video game character at the time, of how she looked. It was the most hilarious thing I've ever read on the internet, when gamers were like, she's too big. And I'm like, oh my God, it's a video game. Stop crying like a little baby.
People are going to be mad no matter what. But in terms of Young, I keep meaning to watch Beef. I haven't watched it yet. Dude, I've heard fantastic things about him.
Just told me to go play a video game. This Beef is the best show on television.
Senna and I keep meaning to watch it, and we just keep being distracted by other stuff. It is very much at the top of my list, and probably the next thing that we're going to watch, because I've heard fantastic things about him, and I'm sure he's going to be great as Jesse. Let's keep this train a rolling to our final couple stories, because apparently Sea of Thieves could be coming to PlayStation and Switch. So it is claimed, coming from Tom Ivan at VGC. Last week, the Nate the Hate podcast said Microsoft was planning to bring one of its quote-unquote more acclaimed first-party games to competing platforms this year. Responding to this game, Giant Bomb's Jeff Grubb said Rare's Sea of Thieves could be set to make the jump from Sony to Sony and Nintendo's consoles. He goes on to say that he thinks it is Sea of Thieves that is going to be coming. Because, again, Sea of Thieves, huge on Xbox. A lot of people seem to really, really love it. One of the most successful IP from this generation, according to Microsoft, back in July 2020. Is it free to play now, or am I making that up?
So it's on Game Pass.
It's on Game Pass, but it's like the box edition of the game. Is that, or am I making that up?
I don't know. I don't know whether you are. I don't think it's free to play though. I think it's just available on Game Pass. Hold on. I'll just go on Amazon.
I'm checking right now. It is not free to play.
I didn't think it was.
But I haven't tried this, Court. It's one that I've always kind of meant to. I've heard good things. I'm not one for games that are centered around boats. They just never really resonate with me. But would you play this on PlayStation?
Yes. I have a lot of... This is one of those 100% play this with friends. The game is amazing. Play it by yourself. Yeah. Play it with friends. The game's amazing. That's all I got to say. It's on the PlayStation and people are on Xbox and you can get more people playing this game, I think that'll help, because my experience with this is I came in it late and there was no one wanted to play it anymore. So I played it a couple times with people and thought it was great. And then when I tried to play it, it was always by myself and I was like, it's not the same. So I think this is great. I am all for games showing up on different consoles. If this and the Hi-Fi Rush rumor are true, that's awesome for PlayStation people. Sorry.
Yeah. And similarly, if PlayStation games ever make their way anywhere else, again,
hold on, Matt, we're not supposed to agree with that. We're only supposed to have one way here.
Oh yeah, you're right. Yeah. So give us everything on PlayStation. Mario is on PlayStation or it's dead to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm curious to see if these end up being true. Hi-Fi Rush, I think would be a great get for any console. And see if I've always heard good things about it. So
it's fun. Game's fun, man.
Yeah. Maybe it's one thing I'll have to get going on the good old Xbox there. And one last story to round out the news block coming from VGC from Jordan Midler. Metal Gear Solid Delta and Silent Hill 2 will release this year according to PlayStation. Neither game has a firm release date. A post on the PlayStation blog, which we went through last week, and we kind of skipped past this just for the sake of time, but we're going to touch on a little bit here, claimed that Metal Gear Solid Delta, Snake Eater, and Silent Hill 2 Remake are both set to release this year. In a blog post detailing the biggest games that are set to release in 2024, both Delta and Silent Hill are listed, along with a disclaimer at the bottom of the blog reading, all feature titles scheduled for release in 2024 at the time of publication. So neither one of these, from what we know, were previously dated, but both seem to be coming to PlayStation in 2024. Court, where are you at on these two?
I am 100% in on Delta. I couldn't care. Silent Hill is not a franchise that I'm like, oh my God, I can't wait to play it. But Metal Gear, I'm all over it.
Yeah, I'm stoked on Metal Gear. Similarly, Silent Hill is just never a franchise that I've ever really resonated with. I'm not big on like horror games like that. So for me, it's not one. But I'm still cautiously eyeing Delta. I'm not sold on Konami remastering and bringing this game back. I'm just worried that it might end up being a little more than a port. Even like the graphics and stuff that we saw, like I wasn't really blown away. So I'm curious to see more of this game. I'm excited about the idea of a 3 remake, remaster, whatever you want to call it. And I'd be excited to play it. But I don't know if I trust Konami 100% with delivering on the promise of what this should be.
Okay.
But we'll find out. Let's get into some questions, my friend, because we have a whole bunch of things to talk about. We're going to kick things off with Fulia. Fulia, I'm sorry I missed your question last week. That was not my intent. And this is a you question. I probably saw anything with hockey and my brain turned off and I kept scrolling. So my apologies to you. But coming from Fulia, just want to say a huge thank you and we'll miss you on the show. The PlayStation Drive has been so informative and very entertaining. Couple of questions. I'm going to hit you with one and then we'll talk about the second. With the PWHL starting off with great success, do you think we'll soon receive hockey games with more female representing players, maybe even a whole PWHL game? Court?
I believe she's asking if they come to Australia. I don't think that'll happen anytime soon. The NHL goes there. Given the way they under-supported it, I feel, in its first season already. The Toronto Arena is a perfect example. It only can fit just under 4,000 people. Season tickets sold out, and then before the pre-sale of the tickets went live, you couldn't even buy tickets. My daughter wants to go to games, couldn't buy tickets. Today, I was able to buy tickets to the All-Star Game 3-on-3, so I'm going to take her to that. But I live in Toronto. Last year, I was able to take her to Toronto 6 games, and this year I wasn't able to take her to games. I think what'll happen is this league will get bigger. So yes, that might happen sometime in the future, Fulia. I just don't think you're going to have that happen anytime soon, considering how long it took for the NHL to get out there. And my hope is out of this, because as someone who, his daughter plays hockey and he's huge into women's hockey right now, I'm hoping that they have some sort of similar league in Europe. And they can start combining and this league gets bigger and they'll have expansion teams. Right now, these teams don't even have names. They're just called Toronto Hockey Team, Minnesota Hockey Team. That's just really? Their name. Yeah. They did a so many great things about this and so many bad things about this. And I think it would take too long of an episode for me to like break it down. But my hope is that this flourishes. I watched the game last night between New York and Minnesota. It's great hockey to watch. My daughter and I watched it. It's fantastic. It's on usually on Sundays, late afternoon. If you want to watch that kind of hockey, it's there to watch. It's on Sportsnet. Mm-hmm. It's on TSN. They have it on all the different networks. It's entertaining. It's fast paced. It's phenomenal. They don't allow hitting. It's called incidental contact, but they still end up taking each other out. There was a fight in one game. These women are top of their class. Extremely, extremely, extremely awesome professional athletes. It's worth checking out. I couldn't recommend it enough. It's very good hockey. I've seen some of it live and it's phenomenal, but it coming to Australia, I just don't see it happen anytime soon.
But do you think we're going to see more of it represented in games? Do you think we're going to get like a DLC for NHL? Do you think
they are represented in the video games? They're there. So you can actually play them. Like right now they're doing team of the week team of the year, sorry, and it's only female-based team of the year players that you can get in NHL. They don't have the PWHL teams, I think, will be in the video game next year, 100%. Mm-hmm. I think they'll have that, but they're not going to have, like, seasons and all that. Like, you could be able to do that. It's not going to be as front and center as they are for NHL. It's just going to be in the NHL game. It's not going to be its own game. I don't think that's going to happen 15 years at the earliest. Like, it's just not going to happen. It needs to get bigger. Right now, Minnesota team is playing in the XL Center, which is where the Minnesota Wild play out of. They're selling out the lower bowl. They're getting about 10,000 per game, which is
phenomenal.
But Toronto needs to maybe move their franchise and put it at Rico Coliseum so that I can take my daughter to a game. Because right now, unless you have the younger kids going to these games, you're not going to grow the game. And a perfect example is 2 weeks ago at my daughter's practice, the PWHL started on New Year's. So the first practice right after the holidays, all those little girls had no clue about the league. When they were asked who their favorite player is, they named Connor McDavid and Connor Bedard. None of them named any of the players in this. Mm-hmm. Hillary Knight, none of these players that are unbelievable, none of their names got mentioned. There is a young girl that's from Keswick that is in the PWHL, and these kids had no clue.
Interesting.
This is a girls hockey team, and they didn't even know. Mm-hmm. So that is boo on the PWHL for their advertising. I truly believe they should have gone out to all the different leagues for the girls' leagues and been like, hey, here's tickets. Bring your team to a game. Because if these girls don't know about this league, then it doesn't matter.
True.
It just doesn't matter. It's not going to grow.
Good to know. Well, I hope it does grow, and I hope it gets bigger and better.
Thank you for allowing me.
That's genuinely interesting. I had no idea that this was even a thing. Which shouldn't be surprising because I don't know about anything about sports. And our next question from Fulia, what is one RPG you enjoyed so much that you could easily go back to and play again just for fun?
The Witcher 3. It's pretty amazing. That game's amazing.
Okay. Good answer. Good answer. Could you see yourself going back to Cyberpunk?
No. I really enjoyed it. I thought that game was amazing, but I only really liked the DLC, Phantom Liberty. I didn't really like the full game.
Okay, cool. As for myself, I don't know. I don't usually replay games. So for me to go back and replay one, it would have to be like a remake or a remaster. Like, I don't really...
How many times you finished The Last of Us?
Every time that it's come out. Not more than that, though. So three, I guess.
That's three times
you've played. No, but it's not an RPG. And I would go back to it.
You just said you don't. I'm just poking holes. Aren't you a...
I said a remake or a remaster. All right. I said that. Remake or remaster. I said that. I qualified with that.
I've finished Batman Arkham like four times now. So
Spider-Man, that action RPG-ish, just because it's so much fun to move around in that world and the combat's fun. Awesome Dave writes in saying, looking back on your time at the PlayStation Drive, what was your favorite piece of PlayStation news to discuss? What was your favorite
PSVR like, news? Just because we got so excited and I wasn't in the VR world. I definitely got disappointed after owning it for a long period of time and realizing that they haven't supported it as much as I want them to. But at the time, I got pretty hyped for that. And showcase that disappointed. Wow. Both things I got hyped for, I got disappointed in the long run.
But the hype was fun. The lead up to PSVR 2 and the lead up to that showcase was a lot of fun. I don't disagree. I think those were some great episodes. As for myself, I still love the Blue Box era just because of how stupid it was, and still bringing it back up every time. It's just it was always ridiculous. But yeah, the PSVR 2 and the showcase, I think are both great answers just because of how much fun we had talking about them leading up to them. And even like immediately after on the PSVR 2, we were both pretty high on it. And I think we could be again games. If it's supported. Yeah,
they had games. Right now, the only thing I play on is Walkabout Mini Golf and Beat Saber. That's it.
Fair. Stingray X writes in and says, what is one shadow drop you would want to see in 2024? As always, I wish you both the best. Thank you, buddy. What is a shadow drop you want to see come out of PlayStation this year?
Wow, they don't do that. Like, they don't.
Not
do
really.
That. No.
But what would you want to see?
Ghost of Tsushima 2. Talk, that announce would be it at massive. The Game Awards and then say, download it right now. But it's not going to happen. But that's what I'd want. No. Like you're asking, or Infamous Remake. Two things I'm not getting.
Infamous Remake would be huge. an Infamous, even like a remaster, like a 4K 60 frames per second.
100%. That is a game that can need it. Anything for the PS3 generation can get a remastered. It's okay. It's a lot.
Yeah. I think that'd be dope. I think that Shadow Drop would be really, really cool. I'm trying to think of what I would want.
And I couldn't have one more episode of this show without talking about Infamous. So,
no, 100% not. I'd love to see the Spider-Man DLC Shadow Dropped. Here's the first chapter. Here's the first whatever we're going to get out of it.
The rumor that we're getting two DLCs from that. You're getting one that's free and then one that's not.
Whatever it is, I'm in. Nakachaka writes in saying, I've said it before, but I'll say it again. Thank you for everything you've done for the PlayStation Drive, the Carpool Gaming community, and for the incredible content and friendship. Question for the show. He's got a few, so we're just going to roll through this. What are your hopes for PlayStation for the next 5 years? What kind of games or hardware innovations do you hope to see from them in that future? Again, love you, Court, and thanks for everything. So what do you want to see out of PlayStation in the next 5 years?
I would like more transparency. Letting us know the roadmap. Like right now, I just feel like they're leaving us astray and they're not really giving us a lot of information. Yes, we're going to have, some information coming up. Like with Xbox doing their developer direct this week, I can't see PlayStation not doing something very soon. I think they kind of have to, but at the same time, I would like them to stop every other generation going, oh, we killed it this one, so we're going to do it this way, this one. Just continue. Like, just keep a consistent pace and give us some great games. And right now, I feel like we haven't had that in a bit, and I want to go back to fun PlayStation. I would love, PlayStation events again. I would love all that fun stuff again. That's what I would love. And then with regards to hardware, I wouldn't be another episode without driving Kevin crazy. I would love a PS5 Pro.
Yep. Okay?
Well, let's be honest here. I would love one. I think we're going to get one, but that's what I would love.
Yeah, I'm with you in terms of the fun aspect. I feel like the community aspect around PlayStation has been lacking in the last little while. I would love to see a PlayStation experience come back. I would love to see what they can do just to kind of help build up the community hype again. I think in terms of the next 5 years, next 5 years will probably bring us to, if not very close to, the launch of the PS6 would be my assumption.
Oh, yeah, we'll get it announced.
January of 2020. I'm sure by that point we'll probably already have the PS6 or be very, very close to, if not imminent. So I don't really know what I want.
It's going to release in October. How do they can't change the script now?
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, in that time frame, it will, whether it's 2026, 7, or 8, it will be, I think, within that 3-year window. For me, I don't really want too much more out of them hardware wise in terms of better support. I think the DualSense Edge is a great piece of tech. Iterate on that, make it better, make the battery life better, make it more accessible. The PSVR 2, I would literally change, outside of going cordless, which is a big ask. I think is an incredible piece of tech. I think those controllers are fantastic. Iterate on it, support it properly, have actual proper stuff. PlayStation Plus, improve it as a service. I think everything PlayStation doing right now is all fantastic. I just think that it could all be better in different ways. And I think if they continue to iterate on their first party catalog, on their online stuff, on everything else that they have planned, that's really what I want to see out of them, because I don't really know what else we could ask for. Obviously, a Vita 2 would be wonderful. Like, take what you've done with the Portal, launch it into what is essentially a Steam Deck, and give me a Vita 2. For the love of God, just do it. I would love to see that. Is that going to happen? Probably not. But, like, that's kind of what I want. I want them to see them get comfortable with what they have and make it better, instead of just going to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next thing, the previous thing being left behind. But I guess we'll find out. Drellish writes in saying, no question for you guys this week. Just a note to say that you will be terribly missed. I'm selling my PS5 as a symbol of my mourning for $1 million. We will miss you too, Drellish. Don't worry. We are still friends. We will still be hanging out. Don't even worry about it. Plus, you and Court have old man things to talk about, so that's not going anywhere anytime soon.
Fair.
Is sciatica a thing? I don't even know what
that
word means.
It is a thing, dude. It's a thing.
Okay. Sciatica.
You're so close to being an old man. honestly. Matt, and by the end of April, Matt's going to be like, dude, I did my not sciatica. Know parts of my body could hurt this much.
Make it hurt so good. Black Wyvern writes in questions for the show. Number one, with the positive reactions to Prince of Persia, which old game would you like to see remade in a similar style, like a Metroidvania?
Ooh, good question.
I have an answer for this one.
You go first. It's Mega Man.
is Mega Man.
Well, that,
I would love.
That is already in that style, though, isn't it?
No, but I'm saying brought back in a Metroid, in a Metroidvania. Okay, open up then the world, not like Castlevania. Levels.
Yeah, yeah, Castlevania.
Yeah, like I think Mega Man, like opening it up, the different, like you can go to different areas in whatever order you want, like similar to the thing, but just make it one big consistent world. Make the combat fluid and just like flashy and cool. I would love to see Mega Man done in that way. Sure. And Castlevania, I think, is a great answer too.
Yeah, anything from the NES generation. Let's do it. Like, Jesus, what Prince of Persia was a computer, like a PC game.
Yeah, at first. What are the indie games you're looking forward to in 2024? You'll be missed, Court. You both have been simply awesome together. Thank you for the wonderful drive. What's some indies that you're looking forward
to in 2024? That game looks amazing. Yes. Like, amazing.
Yeah, Plucky Squire looks fantastic. I'm just pulling it up. I can't remember the name of the game. The dude talked about it on the Game Awards, and I'm blanking on
the name. They talked about games at the Game Awards? I thought they just, like, did ads for things.
I know. Hades 2, of course. Hellskate looks cool. Hyper Light Breaker looks dope. Oh, man. What is the name of that game? It was... I'll have to try and look it up. Let me see if I can find it. I think it's coming out in April. It was the Pacific Drive is one that I'm kind of half looking at as well. Kind Words 2 looks fantastic. I loved the first one. Oh my god, I cannot remember what that game was.
Cat's Quest 3.
Cat Quest 3. I'll see if I can find it. I'll take a look shortly. But continuing on, Jaden Rose writes in, "Hello, Court and Matt. I hope you both have been feeling well. First of all, I just want to say thank you for the smiles, laughs, and good times you gave me. I enjoyed Mondays with you guys, and I wish all the best for both of you." Thank you, Jaden. Very much appreciated.
Thank you very much.
First question. What advice would you have for incoming hosts to ensure the podcast continues to grow and be successful? What do you want to impart on those that will be filling in our roles after we leave?
Be yourself. Do not change for anybody. And stick to your guns, because you're... It's not as big of a deal as you think anything is that you're going through or dealing with on with regards to the show, and that your life, your personal life, should always come first. Always. If you can't make a show, no big deal. Can't do it, yep. No big deal. It is what it is. Just be true to you and don't let outside noises interfere.
I think that's wonderful advice, because don't be afraid to experiment. Don't be afraid to try new stuff. Don't be afraid. And be Matt's honest with one another.
To, like, don't. His game taste is terrible.
Too bad. Just be honest with one another. See what works. See what doesn't. You know, just and be mindful of what you're talking about. Be mindful of the community. Be mindful of the people that are around you. I think that one of the biggest things that can, I wish. Not that we did differently, because I really wouldn't change much of what we did. It was just, the community really grew with us in the last year, and I'm very proud of that adventure and what we did with all these wonderful folks. And sometimes it was playing into jokes, sometimes it was backing off them, but it was just, there was a lot of love here, and we're very, very proud of the role. So in terms of the next things, I think Court nailed it with: be yourself, enjoy the time that you have together, because it'll be important. Jaden's next question: can you give us an inside scoop into the world of podcasting? Did you have any personal or professional challenges during your time hosting the PlayStation Drive? Do you have any takeaways or quote-unquote valuable life lessons from your time as host on the podcast? Thank you so much.
Microphones matter.
Yes.
I truly, cameras don't matter. What's in the background here doesn't matter. Your microphone matters. Also, seeing the person you're talking to when you're doing a podcast, if someone's just doing it and they don't actually see the video recording, it is very hard. You need to be able to see the person talking so you do not talk over them. And that's like my biggest thing for podcasting. And don't be stressed about it, because trust me, you can ramble on about nothing for an hour and it's fine.
Yeah. I think your point on is, like, if you were to be doing anything, whatever you can work with, find the best way to make the audio sound the best that you can. Incredibly important. The video, even if you hop on a Discord call, even if you're doing an audio only show, just so you can look at each other while you're talking to each other, I think is fantastic. Don't be afraid to be silly. Don't be afraid to be dumb. Don't be afraid to be yourself. Just have fun with it. And when you can't, if and when you choose to invest more into it, the mic should be the number one thing. There's plenty of great mics that you can get for less than $100 Canadian that will perfectly do the job, and you can look into going further as you need to. But podcasting, I mean, I was on Burnout before this. You have some experience in other podcasting endeavors as well. So I think a lot of it was just learning the back and forth with your hosts or your co-hosts, learning what works and what doesn't. And the only way that you'll learn to do that is by doing it. So a lot of it, if you go back and listen to early episodes, it can be awkward, it can be rough, and it's just, you'll get better and better as you go. But just do it. If you're ever thinking about it, just do it, because there's no other way to learn. Antics writes in, no question, just going to miss you. You've been amazing hosts and friends. Thank you for the drive. Thank you, Antics. We appreciate you very much.
Thank you very much.
And of course, our final question had to be from the tech with the specs himself, Mr. Steve Wigvari, over on Twitter, writes in and says, hi, PlayStation Drive. Long time, last time. Mort, I'm going to throw it back to my favorite type of closing question. Food. Rank the following and earnestly defend your position. Wings, tenders, nugs,
wow,
what popcorn chicken, cutlets, and fingers. Okay?
Okay.
Wings, tenders, nugs, popcorn chicken, cutlets, and fingers. Hold on. I'm going to
get it up on the screen so I can see this.
I'm going to do exactly that.
Steve, this is honestly the heart of wow.
Okay, here.
Well, actually, I gotta tell you, cutlets is the last.
Okay, so I literally work with
cutlets,
wings, tenders. Okay, so Court's list.
So I'm gonna go wings first.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
I'm going wings first.
Wings first, okay.
Yeah, number one is wings. Number two is tenders and fingers. I'm gonna go fingers. I like a good finger. Tender. Popcorn chicken.
Okay.
Oh, hold on. I got wings, fingers, tender.
You're missing cutlets and nugs.
Even though, like, I understand what he's doing here, but like, almost nugs and popcorn chicken are almost the same, and tenders and fingers are almost the same. But I also like have a crispy scale. But then cutlets. Cutlets is last, like all day long.
Okay. Okay. Okay, not a bad list. Not a bad list.
And wings, because they're just so damn good, and you can get so many different sauces on them, and they're unbelievable. And then chicken fingers, they're just a staple, and it's something that I've grown up my whole life. And it's just, I love a good chicken finger, and it was like the first thing I ever learned how to cook. And then you got tenders, which is pretty much they're like larger chicken fingers that you'll get at a bar, or you'll have like in a wrap. And then popcorn chicken, I think it's because I eat it so much now, because I have a daughter. A child, and when you have a kid, you eat a lot of popcorn chicken. And then nugs, I always think of McDonald's, everything about it, even the thought process, makes me feel sick to my stomach. So then, but I still like a good chicken nugget. And then you got the cutlet.
And you just love a good finger.
Who wasn't? Dude, that's like third base? Who doesn't like a good finger?
I'm with you on wings being number one. I think the versatility of a wing is incredible. But what I'm going to say is boneless over the bone. I'm a boneless wing guy.
That's just a nug, man.
Well, going on to it, my next one is popcorn. I love a good popcorn chicken.
Oh,
I
don't have enough. Your kid is going to be so happy with you.
A nice spicy popcorn chicken, any time of the
chili
day.
Chili Thai?
Any time of the day. Huh?
Your chili Thai?
Chili Thai, but like I'm thinking like a Louisiana spicy
Okay, fair enough.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then I think next I'm going to go tender next. A nice big juicy tender is just
tenders are good.
It's just grab them.
Yeah. Would you rather it in a wrap, or would you rather just by itself?
No, by itself, bro.
Okay.
By itself.
Chicken Caesar tender wrap. Ooh. Wow.
Chicken Caesar tender wrap is. I'm not saying they're not good in a wrap. But if I'm gonna eat these, I just like the dip into some sauce and just down the gullet, you know.
Okay.
I'm gonna go nugs
down
next.
The gullet, don't you? Yeah.
I do. A good finger. I'm gonna go nugs next.
Wow.
My go-to McDonald's. McDonald's is my comfort food. Okay. When I lived in Korea, when I was drunk, stumbling home from the bar, ordering McDelivery to my door, I had to get $10 worth of food. To make it free delivery, okay? A Big Mac set and a 6-piece of chicken nuggets got me to like $10, just past $10. It was always my go-to. It's become a staple for me. I can't not eat them. And then I'm going to go fingers. Nothing against a good finger, but I feel like I'm being fingered. I think I'm left wanting more. It's not enough. You know
what
I mean?
Well, yeah, no. It's just the tip. Yeah.
Sometimes they're too, sometimes they hurt. Sometimes you just take them too far down your throat in one bite and it's just the problems.
Now, I do think, Matt, though, I do think popcorn chicken will go down your list because I have it twice a week. I think you will get to that stage in 5 years from now and popcorn chicken will take a nosedive just because. But I want to ask you before, because I do like a good popcorn chicken, KFC or Popeyes?
Oh, Popeyes all day, dude.
Really? Hey, I think KFC's got a better popcorn chicken.
Dude, they don't have KFC. Every time I have KFC,
no, they're popcorn chicken. Just the popcorn chicken.
I would say Popeyes. Go have it tonight. Even ahead of Popeyes, I would say Church's.
Okay.
And for nugs, I put dinosaur and then normal. I can't
find dinosaur nugs anywhere. They don't exist anymore.
Neither can I, but they live happily in my memories. Cutlet, I think, is just large and in charge. Like, if I'm having a cutlet, I'm having a meal. I'm having, like, one cutlet. I like to have, like, a bunch of small stuff, and I feel more accomplished about my life. If I have just a bunch of small things that I've eaten, I feel like a giant. You know what I mean? So I feel like our lists are not too dissimilar. We both have wings and cutlet in the kind of the first and middle. And for me, honestly, 2, 3, 4, and 5 can be pretty interchangeable depending on the day.
For me, 1 to 4, I don't think I'd ever take wings off number one. I just love chicken wings. Like, I literally made them last night for dinner. And go get an air fryer, Matt, and start making chicken wings. And then you're just going to be the happiest man ever.
I already do that. What do you mean? Go do it. It is something that I do. Santa, can we have chicken wings tonight? Now I want chicken wings.
Dude, I had it last night. So good. Oh. But I make them. Like, I go buy the chicken wings and then I do cornstarch. Well, obviously, you get your household. You probably got lots of cornstarch. But you got the cornstarch with the flour. And then you mix it up with like a little bit of spices, some like cayenne pepper. Oh, so good.
Yeah, dude. We do it with a mix with some like the cornstarch, the pepper, the garlic salt, the garlic powder. Ooh. And we do like a curry mix.
Ooh, it's I never tried that. Delicious, dude.
Slaps. Slaps.
And then you get the dipping sauces. We do barbecue and sweet chili Thai. And so you can just go back and forth.
Dude, spicy chipotle mayo every time.
Well, I can't. The creaminess that never works with my stomach.
Fair enough. But. You know, maybe get a stronger stomach. But I think this is
going to get worse from here. Jesus.
I have to say, like, I think we're more aligned than we are not. I got to say.
Now, when you get fingers, do you get sauced fingers or no sauce? And I'll have one more question after that.
Okay. Usually not sauced.
Okay.
And then I like the dipping. I like controlling how much sauce there is on the thing that I'm eating. I'm 9 times out of 10 a breaded person more so than a sauced person, and then I have control over how much sauce I'm using.
Well, I would just assume all this is breaded.
Yeah, but I mean, like even with the wings, like I'll usually, unless I'm getting like a spicy garpar or something like that, I'll get them breaded and then have the sauce on the side and kind of control the dipping. You know what I mean?
And the only time I don't bread my wings is when I do a salt and pepper, like a dry or a Cajun dry rub.
Yes.
Unbelievable. Now, does crispiness matter? Do you like more crisp, half crisp, or like more a large crisp. Crunch?
I like a more crisp.
Same. Okay. We're both there. Like, I like a crisp. I want a good crisp.
Yeah. Like when you bite into it and it's just like, are you okay? Follow-up question. Are you a wings or thigh guy? You know, like
chicken thighs are the greatest. Like I'm literally making them tonight. Chicken thighs are, I'm talking
chicken wings between the two. Like the little.
Oh, bone. I actually like the flats versus the drums.
The flats versus the drums. Those are the ones.
Yeah, I just want to use the right terminology here.
Yeah,
no, I actually like the flats. I'm a big flats guy.
It? You and my wife both. I'm a drum guy, dude. Give me that thing. There's too much work with these flats.
No,
bro.
I love the flats.
I break the bones sometimes.
Oh, it's so good, man. Flats are. No, I find them more juicy. Because the meat around the bone tastes better. It's just a proven fact. So, yeah, flats all day, man.
No, drums all day, dude. Just grabbing it and like I feel like a caveman, you know what I mean? Just like, and like, you know, having a good old bite. And we meanwhile with thighs, I'm like a little rat trying to make his way around a bone.
It's not a thigh.
What is it with you guys, Seth?
Look, everybody. Oh my God. Steve Flats all the way. Mari agreed.
Guys.
Steve Rosso, at lunch that we're gonna have real soon, let's go get chicken wings. Find a good, tell me a good chicken wing spot downtown, and we're gonna go.
Bro, we should just go to the Popeyes commercial and, like, going on you, right now. You hit me with your chicken wing recipe. I'll hit you with my chicken wing recipe.
There's a Popeyes chicken advertisement going on. It's like they were listening during the hockey game right now.
There you go. But even then, Church's over Popeyes, I gotta say. Have you tried Church's? Okay, yet?
Let's rank our chicken. So I went around and bought all the different chicken sandwiches one time during the pandemic. So my number one, so Popeyes not number one for me. Have you had the Mary Brown's Big Crunch?
But we can talk Mary Brown's.
It
we
is can talk so Mary good. Brown's. Mary we Brown's is Mary Brown's is next level secret society food because
anything else I'm missing?
So there's, I don't want to put Wendy's or McDonald's on there because I don't feel
it. No, me neither.
I think it's disgusting.
I'm adding Korean fried chicken.
Ooh, that's
good. That's its own category.
So Popeyes, KFC, Church's, Mary Brown's, Korean fried. There's got to be one more. I don't want to count Wendy's or actually Harvey's. Harvey's has got a mean chicken sandwich. It's very good. And it's actually.
But I still count that under like a burger-esque place. I'm talking like, yeah, but KFC's like no, but like chicken focused places. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
You know what I mean?
Well, then I got to put you. Steve, no, Steve's probably yelling at the screen. Union Chicken in Union Station has the best chicken there is.
Disagree.
You are cracked out. It's number one.
Disagree.
Union Chicken's number one. That's my number one. Union Chicken. Number two, Mary Brown's.
Seth, Chick-fil-A is something that we've gotten the last few years, but I haven't really had
it. We only have like two locations as of right now. Chick-fil-A is phenomenal. I'll put it on there. But Chick-fil-A, there's one downtown.
I've seen them around. I think we actually
do have one in Kitchener. Like, oh my god.
I think we do have one in Kitchener now, but I just haven't tried it to be able to compile it to.
It's very good.
Competently
agree. Next time you have a layover at the Atlanta airport, just go get it.
Okay, you know what? I'm leaving Union off. We're doing like
chain.
I understand if it's yours.
Okay, chicken chain.
And I'm just kind of Korean fried chicken.
So then number one, you're gonna be shot. Mary Brown's.
Okay.
All right. Number two, Chick-fil-A.
Okay.
Number three, Popeyes.
Okay.
Number four, KFC. I'm partial to it. I like it. It's terrible for me, but I like it. Okay. And then Church's, and then Korean fried chicken because I've never had it.
That ends up being KFC anyway.
Yeah, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, for me, Korean fried chicken is my go-to. It's just the sauciness.
I got to try it. You got to bring it to
me. We'll go. We're going to go. Korean fried chicken is number one. I would put Mary Brown's next too. Mary Brown's,
it is
a more recent discovery for me. Listen, I get heartburn every time after I eat it because of how hot the spicy is, but so delicious. Good.
It's delicious. Dude, and they're wedges that are breaded. Oh my God. I'm going to get it for dinner. My daughter's not here tonight. I'm getting Mary Brown's. A big crunch. And, so good.
And then I put Church's, and then I put Popeyes, and then I'm going to put KFC. I'm leaving Chick-fil-A off just because I've had it maybe once or twice.
So good.
I can't definitively rank it, but I put KFC last.
And there's also Dave's Hot downtown. Like, shout out to Dave's Hot Chicken downtown. It is so good.
There you go. Well, that brings us to the end of the Chicken Cast. Thank you all so much for listening. Court, that brings us to the end of this era of the PlayStation Drive, Chapter 2, some would call it. Thank you again for everything, my friend. We'll have more to talk about in the future, but for right now, I want to, again, just, I'm so proud of what we've done. This show has been a joy each and every week hanging out with you. It has made us so much closer as friends. It has made us so much closer as people. And I genuinely love you and appreciate you very, very much. Thank you for giving your time to the show because it would not have been the same without you.
Well, thank you for putting up with me. Honestly, I love you, buddy.
Each and every day.
Yeah, like honestly, I know. Oh, Bruins just scored. Look at this. You thank me and the Bruins scored. It's a win-win. This is the first time I've ever done something else besides doing the show. I guess
there you go.
Get in trouble this time. I love you, man. I appreciate everything. It's been a blast. I can't wait to, you know, to what the future is about to bring. I really can't. I don't know, man. I've loved Carpool. It's been great. But, you know, like all good things, sometimes change is needed. Just it is what it is.
100%. And if people did want to see and hear more from you, where could they do so?
You can find me every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern at Three Dads in a Console. And supposedly you can also find me at PSVG. Supposedly is I'm on their podcast according to their Discord right now. But you can also find me bylines at Console Creatures and probably on their podcasts with Steve in the chat. And you can also just find me on the internet. I'm around, you know. I'm there. I'm everywhere.
Go find Court at Court Lalonde at all of the places. As for myself, you can find me on X at Matt_SilverSoul. And of course, you can find my words at Console Creatures as well. Before we go, we of course have to end the show by thanking and recognizing this incredible community of ours for everybody that has taken the time to listen to Court and I over the course of the last few years. Thank you. If you've written in, if you've left a comment, if you've liked a stream, if we have made your day better in any way, shape, or form over our tenure here together, we hope that would make it all worth it. Thank you for hanging out with us. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being there with us through the tangents and everything else. Doing the show together and doing the show with all of you was so incredibly special to this community, to everybody who supported us. This is just the end of the chapter. There's so much more good things to come here and for us as well. So you know, keep eyes in all the places. We appreciate you all. But of course, our wonderful patrons need to be thanked, and we need to shout people out because we want to welcome Will and also Fiona McKinnon to the free trial, welcoming Mosef, Ian Keg, the Don Rob, and the Goobla King to the exclusive tier. Thank you to Bob Loblaw for coming up to Gold Member, and thank you to Jonas Young and Robbie Bobby Miller for joining the Platinum Producer tier. We, of course, need to thank our ultimate producers, Tony Baker, who you can find at youtube.com/quest4pixels, Jonathan Brown, his link tree is pme.jib, Lee Navarro, who you can find over at phoenixoverdrive.com, of course, the fearless leader of the Phoenix Overdrive Extra Life team, and Quagmire, who reminds you that the best babes are Xenobabes. Our platinum producers, Robbie Bob Miller and Jonas Young, and our gold members, Adam K, Anna, Awesome Dave 1337, Bob Blah Blah, Bowza, Broud, Moore, Brian Reese, Cecily Carosa, Dan and Lumo, Dano, Drellish, Emily O'Kelly, John 32, Marcus O'Neill, Pehe EP, Shy Guy, Tim Alf. Thank you all so much for your support. We love and care about you all very, very much. Stay safe. For the last time, this is Mort signing out. Peace.